On this week's episode of Marketing O'Clock.
Google is trying to improve their reporting with advertisers, releasing placement reports for PMax campaigns.
Google is giving the HCU a big FU as it's being rolled into core updates, like the big March 2024 core update that's upon us.
Did you think Google was going to let you run ad groups without any impressions? Impossible.
All on today's show.
Welcome, you are listening to Marketing O'Clock. Just stay tuned. Digital marketing news, but let's get specific. Digital ads, SEO and analytics, social media and more. Pretty much everything that'll make your website perform. With new shows every Friday. We give you the news with sass and puns and definitely hot takes. Thank you for tuning in. You know what time it is. It's officially Marketing O'Clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it locked.
Hey there, I'm Christine Zernheld.
AKA Shop.
I'm Nicole Waddington.
And I'm Greg Finn.
And it's officially Marketing O'Clock.
Here on March 8th, 2024. Hey everybody, thanks for joining us for another fabulous episode. Greg, what's going on over here?
Well, y'all know I came back from vacation. I think people enjoyed seeing the Zapruder film of me recording at the PSAC from my son, who dropped the iPad and then turned it upside down to finish recording. People got a kick out of that.
Did you share it with the world?
Yeah.
I saw it on our private Slack channel. Okay.
No, it's in the show. Okay. And then the Paid Search Association shared it too. They're like, here's the behind the look. I'm like, oh, great. Like, this is like my life. But well, we were going on a hike one day, and in the middle of the road were these hairy, like, pigs with something bloody coming out of their mouth.
No.
Hairy pigs. Javelinas, they're called. Mm-hmm. And apparently they're all over the desert, and they'll, like, eat dogs and cats and stuff if you, like, let them out. And but there's this family of javelinas crossing the road. And my kids, of course, they're sitting in the back. And, like, we stopped. I showed you a picture of it last week. And my kids are like, oh, they're so cute. I'm like, stay in the car. Like, don't leave the car. And so, like, let the javelinas pass, and we're looking at them. And then we go to a store, and we see...
I'm scared.
A stuffed javelina.
Wait, they are cute. Oh, my gosh.
It did not look like this. So
it
I'm
looks
like
a little anteater.
I'm like, I need to get something that reminds them of Arizona. So, like, I bought them the stuffed javelina. Okay. So, we'll put this here. Okay. So
they were bigger than that in the video.
Oh, they're like, huge.
That is scary.
Yeah, they didn't look nothing like that.
I was just really, you brought a prop today. It was like Real Housewives on the Reunion, like Kenya Moore. I didn't know what was going to come out of it.
I was thinking the same
scepter.
Thing.
Scepter.
Yeah.
No, that was not what I was expecting.
And then, so my kids name stuffed animals usually like pretty dumb names. Like you have a polar bear. Guess what its name is? Poli. You know what I mean? You get an elephant. Guess what its name is?
Ellie.
Right? Like, I don't know if it's similar or how naming.
No, I just get like weird, like names that aren't names, like Junkst.
Sometimes you get like Flash or they have one that's name is Timothy Rockstar, which I don't even understand, but they're getting like creative with the names. So I'm like, all right, what do you guys want to name this? What do you think the answer is?
What? It's called a javelina.
A javelina.
Harry?
No, Javi. And I'm like, okay, like that's exactly what I figured. This is like, you're still like 2 years old, even though they're nine. And then my daughter goes, and this is my favorite name of a stuffed animal ever. And his last name is Lobby. So his name is Javi Lobby. I was driving the car. I almost had to pull over. I'm like, that is the most ridiculous thing. And it's like went from like one of their blah names to like an extravagant name.
That's
Javi
amazing.
Lobby. I don't think those
beautiful.
Two words have ever been uttered together before in life.
No. Probably so, never again.
Here we go.
I really Javi appreciate Lobby. That they let you bring it in today. It was nice of them.
Yeah. Well, I kind of just stole it.
Was it a dream or a nightmare or real? In your video, I thought it had a disgusting rat tail. Did I make that up? Because this guy does not have a tail.
I can look at the video again. There it is. It's a terrible picture.
Oh, yeah.
But look
yeah.
how big. It's as big, big as a fire hydrant.
It could hurt somebody.
Yeah. But not Javi Lobby.
It's really scary. And we should get into the news now because I know someone else who could hurt somebody, and it's Google Ads.
Of course.
First up in the news this week via Nicola Agis from Search Engine Land, I want to ask you guys. So they announced a new feature this week. What do you think, like what's a feature that you would just love to hear Google Ads announcing? I wonder if this is it. Something you've been begging for.
Something that I've been begging. I would love to be able to change a target return on ad spend for a Performance Max campaign right within the campaign.
That'd be nice. Wouldn't hurt Google Ads one bit.
No.
Mm-hmm. Nicole?
I would love to see more search terms.
That would be so wonderful. Well, this is what you're getting. Google Ads will automatically start pausing ad groups with low activity. From March 11th on, ad groups created at least 13 months ago that have not had any impressions in the past 13 months will be paused to improve budget efficiency for advertisers. The rollout is expected to take 7 weeks with completion for all production in Google Ads accounts by April 30th. So definitely watch your accounts, watch your change history, and see if anything's changing here because you are not going to get a heads up as far as we can tell. You will be able to unpause them, but Google suggests, quote, reviewing them before unpausing them. And if you do unpause them and they don't get any impressions for the following 3 months, Google will automatically pause them again. So this is something, again, they haven't had impressions for 13 months. It's nice of them to make the window that big if they're going to do this because it accounts for seasonality. And you may think, like, why? I guess why? But it's not going to hurt us that bad, so maybe we don't want to scream a lot. I'm going to share a take from Nava Hopkins that she shared on LinkedIn this week. She said, I'm over the moon with this update. For years, I've been begging brands to pause what's not working so budget efficiency can win the day. This is absolutely a net positive. Google sets budgets at the campaign level. If you have too many ad groups looking at you accounts with 10 plus, odds are your budget won't be able to support all of them. Ad groups with no impressions drag down the overall quality of the campaign. If you have too many keywords in ad groups doing nothing, that averages in bad data. Zero impressions is not the same as low search volume, and it is confirmed that low search volume keywords are not going to hurt you. However, if you have an otherwise worthy keyword or ad group that's not just getting any action, it's going to average bad data. I guess I get it that it could affect the data, but again, if they're not serving and not getting any impressions, what's the big deal? I don't get how this helps us or Google Ads. And where my mind went is the same place that PPC Greg's mind went.
I didn't see this, but can I guess what he's going to say?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm probably going to be way wrong. You're going to have your ad groups that have right now zero impressions. That threshold is going to move up. And it's going to say, oh, if you don't have a certain number, you're going to be ineligible, or that's going to be paused so that you cannot make it into the auction. And then things like PMax will...
Yeah.
Take it up.
So he didn't stretch that far about the threshold changing, but yes, okay. He thinks, and I think it's all going to come back to PMax. He says conspiracy theory for me is that along with deeming low search volume keywords ineligible, Google can push off more traffic to PMax campaign when an account is running search and PMax alongside each other. Keep in mind prioritization of identical keywords. And then he notes the documentation with that, where if a keyword in your search campaign is ineligible to serve because of low search volume, it can go to PMax. And now we're pausing keywords without telling people.
Yes.
It's just, why would they do it just to help us have good data? Like, that's not something Google Ads would care about.
They never do that. And that's, I would have no problem with this. And I think Nava make some good points here. But the point she's missing is the fact that you can now be not eligible due to search volume. That's not my problem.
Yeah.
That is Google's problem, that you don't have enough people searching.
And Nava is making a lot of sense, but that's something that you should be able to talk to your clients about and make a recommendation about, and they make the choice and you make the choice together to pause those ad groups.
Right. And if you look at this like alone on an island, like you'll be like, oh, this isn't too terrible. Right. And I think that's Nava's take. But the fact, you will not serve if Google doesn't see enough volume and it's low search volume. Now you have to look at everything together. And mm-hmm. when you put them all together, you see, well, this is ineligible because of low search volume. Maybe I would get impressions. Maybe I would get clicks. Why don't you just serve the thing and mm-hmm. get this out of my account? Like, no, they're making those ineligible so that then it gets routed into PMax, and then these things are going to be shut down and there's going to be more going there.
Yeah.
And then eventually, like, PMax is doing great, is working well. It's going to be working worse. They're going to make it work worse. That's what's going to happen. That's the exact thing that will happen. Come back in 2 years and look at this clip.
Yeah. I hate it. And we've all worked in like SaaS accounts with very, very niche terms. It wouldn't be so wonderful to just be able to add them all to a keyword list, and maybe nobody's going to search them, and maybe they are, and your ad will be there.
But you can't even see that right now because they're ineligible due to low search volume. So this is like two things that are working together, and you have to look at it in that format, and it stinks.
Yeah. I hate it.
I mean, I just worry that you won't be able to tell, like, did I pause this ad group or did Google? And is there going to be any record of who did what?
So I'll just jump ahead to one of my paid stories. The new version of Google Ads Editor 2.6 launched this week with 8 new features. And one of them is a pause by the system reason. So it seems like, I bet it'll be added to change history. I'm hoping that, you know, you can segment by user if something happened in editor or online or what tool, and pause by the system will be an option. So hopefully we're going to at least see a record of it.
Something that there are no good records of yet. I have no charts for this yet because it's too early for this, unfortunately. It happened the day before we recorded here. But according to Barry Schwartz over on Search Engine Land, Google is releasing massive search quality enhancements in March 2024. It is a core update and multiple spam updates. So with this change, the Google Helpful Content Update is now going to be part of the core update. And apparently it's going to lead to a 40% reduction in unhelpful content within search.
This sounds like
they don't usually talk like this. Right. You don't usually hear all this. And they went on and had a blog post and talked about all the different things that it might be targeting. So again, this one seems bigger. And Barry was talking about it too, where in November last year, when Danny, I believe it was a Brighton SEO, he's like, buckle up. And everyone was like, buckle up. Like this might be what he was.
Everyone's at PubCon together too. They're probably
Is everybody there?
Not us.
I talked to Casey. Casey's there.
It seemed like some fun people were there. I had a little FOMO.
Okay, I didn't see too much.
Avila and Casey were together at a bar.
Yeah.
With Digital Sam I Am.
I didn't see him there, no.
I would have liked to be at that bar.
Okay, next year you can go.
Okay. Anyway, they're probably just all talking about this. I have FOMO.
So additionally, there are several new and updated spam policies that will begin enforcing through automated algorithms and manual actions. According to the Google post, they are looking to reduce low quality, unoriginal results, keep more spam out of your results. They're looking at kind of going after scaled content abuse, site reputation abuse, and then expired domain abuse. So a lot of those things that people have kind of workarounds and you know, black hat, if you want to call it that, type SEO efforts. So hopefully those go away. And as I mentioned, the helpful content update is now part of core updates, not just this one, but any future one. So there will be no more helpful content updates. The last one was, I believe, September 2023 helpful content update. Now it's all just rolled part into the part of the normal updates. According to, this is where the 40% came from. Elizabeth Tucker, the director of product search at Google, told Search Engine Land that we expect the combination of this update and our previous efforts will collectively reduce low quality, unoriginal content and search results by 40%. And then Danny Sullivan, the search liaison for Google, apparently had been, again, advising us to buckle up. And this is likely what we were buckling about.
It's all coming together.
But there's no like good charts yet. So we'll have some good ones
next week.
I need to see. I'm looking at these charts and it's like, there's just nothing. There's not. We don't have good charts yet.
All the SEOs are at PubCon.
And you might recall earlier this year on the show, we covered the release of an analytics research report that had evidence that Google was running search ads on brand unsafe Google search partner inventory. And on X last week, there was some confusion following an announcement from Google that you would be able to see campaign performance broken down by search partners. But Ginny from an ads liaison account clarified that this feature is only available for PMax campaigns right now, and that they would be evaluating whether to extend this feature to other campaign types in the future, like search. I don't know. I just feel like in general, when you're running on Google search, you should be wary of search partners. Like, it sucks that we don't get reporting by placement, and it's great that you have it for PMax now, it looks like. But like, if you're running ads, just double check your settings. it's a risk you take when you have that checked and you're on Search Partners.
Also, is there anybody over there with a brain in their head? If you're like, hey, the Search Partners network could be a problem for Performance Max campaigns, wouldn't you be like, hey, don't just remove it from all your search campaigns? Why don't you just like allow you to see mm-hmm. what those search partners are? And if you don't like something,
I would use it more.
Yeah.
I would try it more.
100%. Sure. Why wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. And it's not that much more logic to just be like, oh, let's just not see it from PMax. Let's see from search. It's probably harder to do what they did.
It's harder to explain. Yeah. Why no, you did it that way.
Yeah. And then we got to go to people, well, we can't use search partners on search because we can't see where the placements are there, but we don't have an option to use search partners on PMax, but we can see where those search partners are on PMax, and then we can apply it to the account negatives, but maybe it works on search partners in search, but we know it works in PMax. I don't even know how to do this. Like,
and by the way, as of recording this, I have not seen how you add those account level negatives for search partners.
So as of Wednesday, the 6th.
Mm-hmm. So if anyone sees it, let me know, but maybe I'll find it by Friday. More paid news here. Microsoft Advertising is launching Performance Max campaigns globally. They are now out of beta and available to everyone. So you have the option to either import these from Google Ads or set them up in three very easy steps. Define your goals, add creative assets, and create audience signals. Microsoft also announced that if you previously imported PMax campaigns from Google when PMax wasn't available in Microsoft, so they came in as Smart Shopping or DSA, they will quote upgrade those campaigns to PMax in a phased approach over the next few weeks. Quote, in the coming months, we'll be adding many new capabilities to our Performance Max campaign, such as brand exclusions, search insights reports, search themes, and video assets. So as you set these up now, there is no option for a video asset. And if you import it from Google Ads, your video is not going to make the migration over. The other big difference I'm noticing setting them up from Google is just the audiences are not as great on Microsoft. So you're probably going to want to use first-party data because there's also no search themes. But other than that, I imported it and it seemed pretty easy. So I recommend trying that. Just make sure you have a good audience list in there. Also, the CTAs. There's options in Microsoft for CTAs for Bet Now and Bid Now.
Whoa.
Crazy place. Crazy times. I just thought that was interesting. Greg, you tested these in beta, right?
Yep. I was in the beta trial for it. And I haven't been using it as much lately, but it's sort of hit or miss is what I would say from my tests. You see a lot of action and then little bits of action. So again, throw it in the mix, see what happens. It might work for you, might not. Give it a shot. Mm-hmm.
Now it's time for this week's take of the week. This is a hashtag fire digital marketing take with extra spice served up for you. We simply deliver the take for your consumption. We give no opinions. We don't influence. You make the call.
This week's take of the week comes from Julie Baccini at Neptune Moon on X. And she says, new PMax questions answered from Think with Google. From the first answer, paraphrased, we won't show you the stats for channels within PMax because you might get the wrong idea about the performance if you actually see it. Trust us to always do what's best.
Insane. You might get the wrong idea about performance if you actually see it.
That's Julie's. That's Julie's.
Oh.
Julie's take.
This I ruined it.
Julie has the take.
Can we cut that?
No, we can leave this in. We're leaving this in. It's fine.
That sounded like something Google actually said.
What they said wasn't that different.
Okay.
What they said was, Performance Max optimizes your results across all of Google's advertising channels rather than in single channel silos. It intentionally doesn't show channel-specific KPIs because looking at aggregate ROAS or CPA for a single channel within Performance Max can actually be misleading and doesn't accurately represent the value of a given channel.
How could that be misleading?
Well, maybe you just need to give mobile apps a little more time.
That's stupid.
Maybe you just need to give it a little. Maybe that's been warming everybody up, is that placement on Candy Crush.
That is insulting. That
I agree. What do you think? Like, you're like, oh, if you act. All we're looking for is more data. And if you see that your video is driving higher return, I can take that information and I can go put more money into video specific campaigns to say, oh, this thing really resonates. To say that if you see the data in a single channel, and it would be misleading. That is a misleading statement.
That hurts.
It does.
Terrible.
Now it's time for this week's ICYMI.
ICYMI, people.
This is something you just might not have seen. Maybe something that you overlooked, but you shouldn't have.
ICYMI, people. Nicola from Search Engine Land has an article on Google Ads solutions. We announced that these were coming, but I don't ever know if we confirmed that they were here. But they're basically like out of the box script tools that you don't need to set up. They're just in there for you. So they have cool tools, cease and desist, that will let you filter your data by campaign, ad group, keyword, and other dimensions, set flexible budgets, manage negative keyword lists throughout your account, sort your data by any metric, and they have handy tools that'll let you export your data in a lot of formats, including Google Sheets, which is really nifty. So check those out if you haven't yet. There's some cool things that you can play around with in there.
Now it's time for this week's
pew pew
lightning round. At this point in the show, we split up our content into three parts: paid, organic, and social.
First up in the paid universe this week, Google is updating the verification process for local service ads. This was first spotted by Anthony Higman, of course. And it looks like this is only applying to LSAs for lawyers right now. So Google said to Anthony via email, any featured professionals in your LSAs, such as lawyers, must undergo an identity check in addition to the license check to confirm their affiliation with your business. And the business owner or senior partner in your firm or practice must also pass an identity check. The rollout is going to start in smaller states. And then by the end of 2024, everyone will have to comply to this. And Nicola says that additional reports suggest are out there suggesting that broader verification processes will be updated this year to address spam issues within LSAs. So be on the lookout for that. But I feel like Anthony's screams are being heard.
Yeah,
this
I think
great.
I think he is the driving force behind all these changes.
Mm-hmm. Fighting the
Anthony,
good fight.
You know what his middle name is? Verification.
I think we can come up with something more fun. Google's search generative experience is impacting ads, and there is a new study by SEO platform SE Ranking that's outlining how exactly that's happening. So they said, regardless of SGE snippet presence, ads appear more often at the bottom of search results, and that ads at the top of the SERP accompany SGE snippets more often than shopping ads or carousels. They also said that shopping ad carousels usually appear above the SGE snippet, and niches like fashion, beauty, and e-commerce are more likely to feature shopping ads. So we just all have to be ready for the SGE rollout and keep an eye on this because it's going to impact ads for sure. TikTok launched a new data portability API as part of its efforts to comply with the Data Markets Act, which is being rolled out this week. It enables users to authorize the transfer of their information in third-party apps like profile information, post information, followers and following lists, activity in the app, and direct messages. Currently, this is only limited to the European Economic Area, but it could roll out to everyone else later. I think this is interesting because TikTok, I feel like, doesn't even care about hiding how much they're watching you. You will send someone a TikTok, like I'll send someone here a TikTok via Slack, and it sends it to them in the app via DM too. Or I'll send someone a TikTok and they'll send it to like someone else and it'll show up in the TikTok app. Like I send it directly to that person. Like it's watching you and it doesn't care about letting you know. It's very sketchy. So I think everyone should use this feature is all I'm saying. Next up from Adrian Decker, he noted that Microsoft added Copilot and Bing Ads. I also think that this was announced a while ago, but now he's finally seeing it in the platform. And another update from Anthony Higman. Anthony Higman on X. He says, woohoo, Google's stupid AF new PPC ad format. This is part of a, quote, small test. And now contains a new dumb search filter within the ad that are completely unrelated to my query. I hate Google and their clever expanded match BS games. So in this example, he is searching for workers' compensation lawyer free consultation, and the results are switching to Social Security lawyers.
How is that legal?
And then there's suggestions for brand names in here too, in disability lawyers in Philadelphia. How does he even have time to do work on the platform? Because he's doing so much Googling all day.
He might be the number one Googler in the world. Do you think so? Like, he must be searching all day long. Mm-hmm.
Definitely the number one lawyer Googler in the world.
How does this make sense, though? If you're looking for something that's worker compensation, I understand, like, showing related results. I don't understand showing slightly related ads. That makes zero sense.
It's not even slightly related.
I mean, the word lawyers is that. It's like...
That's it.
Yeah.
To Anthony, they're not related at all. Oh,
no, they aren't. I mean, again, slightly related because lawyers is there, but it's like saying I'm looking for a Segway to drive to work.
Yeah.
Here's a SUV.
It's so
they
bad.
Both move. I don't want to like spend money for a Yukon if somebody's looking to buy a bike, you know?
Yeah. I also think as part of that new verification process we were talking about, they should have to do some work on these headshots. I can never get past the headshots. Is this man really standing on top of this building in France or wherever he is?
I think that's Philly.
That's Philly?
Yeah, that's the big thing in downtown.
I guess I need to go for a visit.
It's pretty cool.
That's an amazing view. I think it's fake. He's not on a building across
No, he wouldn't be smiling.
He's in front of a green screen.
He's smiling like he just put a whoopee cushion under your chin and you're about to sit down. That's what that smile is.
And they should verify that these headshots are updated within the last couple of years.
I agree. I agree with that.
Speaking as someone whose headshot hasn't been updated since they were like 25, but
do I look young in my headshot? I think I look old in that.
Yours has been updated recently, hasn't it? I can't even remember it.
I have no clue.
Yeah, you just redid yours, didn't you?
I don't think so.
I'm not redoing mine. I cut my hair off. That's my headshot forever. But these lawyers, they're paying for these headshots on Google Ads. They should need to update them. Update your headshots, people. What's happening in organic?
In organic, Google has announced several upcoming changes aimed at ensuring compliance with the European Union's Digital Markets Act, the DMA, which is set to take effect this week, according to Barry Schwartz over on Search Engine Land. I think it was Barry Schwartz. What are the odds, Barry? Like pretty high. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's just like a article. I forget who did it. We'll link it in the notes. Look over on YouTube or in a podcast player of your choice about people that the kind of gender by articles written at certain publications. And it's like, you look at Search Engine Land, that's Barry is just like making that. It's like he just writes so much. And it was Nicola.
Nicola does a lot too.
Nicola. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this was her. So she's fighting Barry back. It's a battle. Mm-hmm. Barry's an incredibly fast talker and he types faster than he talks.
Yeah.
So
it's hard to keep up.
Yeah. Anyway, why do you care? The new rules coming into effect may impact businesses, particularly in adjustments to Google SERPs, potentially leading to reduced traffic for direct suppliers such as hotels and restaurants. However, Google has assured that it collaborated with the European Commission to strike a balance during the DMA compliance measures. So apparently there's more than 20 changes to its products in search and Google search. It's added dedicated units and chips to help people find comparisons. That was the big thing here is you need to be able to compare, not just like Google give you the answers for things like flights, hotels, shopping. And as part of the update, certain features like Google Flights unit have been removed from the search results page, affecting how consumers find business. So again, it seems like an overall good thing. There's going to be more comparisons listings showing up. All right, so fresh out of PubCon, Bing Webmaster Tools has gained new Index Now Insights and a top SEO Insights report. So if you use Bing Webmaster Tools and if you use Index Now, which has 2.5 billion submitted URLs, you can see how Index Now is performing and you can also see a top SEO Insights report. So Fabrice Chanel, the principal product manager at Microsoft Bing, announces today, and Index Now is accounting for 17% of new URLs clicked in web search results. I also like the name Fabrice. Do you like Fabrice?
Oh, I like it a lot. Fabrice.
Yeah, that's like a strong masculine name.
Do we know if it's a man?
Oh, it's Fabrice from Bing.
Really great.
Yeah, love it.
So did I tell you guys last week I'm on my Iron Chef kick?
You did not. Is that the one where like you go and you compete against the what, Top Chef?
Yeah, but I'm watching
like Bobby. What's his name? Bobby Flay.
Yes, but I'm watching the original one from the 2000s, and they're in Japan, and it's in Japanese with subtitles, and it's really good.
Are you just bud?
And like last week, the man who's the host, they're talking about how he made Kitchen Stadium, and he's this like rich guy, and the whole story, and the whole opening segment every time is like,
he created Kitchen Stadium.
Blah 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 blah. I found out. He is fake. He's an actor. He's not a real man. They made up a character. This guy who is the face of Iron Chef Japan.
Yes, I know him well.
He hosts every show. He's not a real rich man. He did not make Kitchen Stadium. He's an actor. This guy.
No way. Get out of
here. He's fake.
Okay, next up. Google Business Profile websites are being redirected to Google Maps. We talked about this a few weeks ago. The Google Business Profile websites that Google was telling people to set up so that they had a location they could send ad traffic to. Instead of just going to Maps, it's now just going to Maps. If you use those URLs you had, it will apparently just kick you to Maps. So awesome.
Google loves small businesses.
All right. And from Google again here, there are apparently three new Chrome features to get more helpful suggestions. The first is you can get search suggestions based on what others are looking for. So if you open up a new tab, it will look at your past search history and recommend things to you. And then you can also see more images for suggested searches. So there's an example where they had started looking for, I think, Bohemian Table, and you could see in the results some of the different searches and what they might show up if you were looking for like a Bohemian Table. So I think that's good. The other one's like if you have slow internet, so it could be helpful. Okay, ChatGPT can now read responses to you. This is a big deal for me.
What's the voice?
I don't know yet. I need to try it because I'm still like a Siri person, but I need to quit Siri after I got my hotel in Glendale last week, as we talked about. I was in Glendale on a drive, 45 minutes to Tempe because of Siri.
You're breaking up with Siri.
I'm breaking up. My kids always ask me questions, and I always just Siri it. I got to start doing this now because it can read it back.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be great. I'm just going to ChatGPT it so it can read. If you're on iOS or Android, you can hold the message and then tap read aloud.
But can you read it to the – can it listen to you? That's what's nice about Siri.
I don't know.
You need that.
Mm-hmm.
Just yesterday, I got in an argument with the kids. They said that a car went 750 miles an hour. And I said, guys, that is like, that can't happen. And they're like, yeah, it happened. I'm like, no, it didn't. And so I'm driving in the car and I hit the Siri button. I'm like, what is the world's fastest recorded time for a car? 1979, a car went 763 miles an hour. And I'm like, God, all right, I'm wrong. You're right.
But it's the same as the moon landing suspicions. Like, why haven't we done it since if we did it in 1979?
You brought that up, not me. I didn't bring that up. I still need to watch that.
Oh, where the moon landing is all about the Shining documentary?
Yes. What is that called?
Room. It's whatever the room number is from the movie.
From Digital Information World, the go-to source of news. I just love that they take any poll that Barry puts out on Twitter and they turn it into a chart. They chart Barry. They chart the chart king. They turn the chart king into a chart and it makes me so happy. And Barry had put a poll out saying, how are SEOs feeling about Google these days? Overwhelmingly, 68% like Google less now. 25.6% feel the same as before, and only 6.5% like Google more now.
Compared to when?
Who knows? It's Digital Information
Since
World.
The core update or what?
I don't know. I can read the article if you want. I just like the chart. I didn't look at Barry's original X post. Can we just call them tweets? Can I call them tweets?
I guess I do it for the show. I'm reading a book right now, and they're already talking about X.
What book are you reading that's talking about X?
It was the Kindle First Read. It's called The Rule of Threes, murder book.
Of course.
And, yep, they're doing the detective, Constant Marlowe, is doing research on X to find the perp.
I looked at the original tweet. and Barry didn't put a time frame in.
Okay.
So accurate reporting by Digital Information World there. From Google, they are now, and this might be more like an ad kind of rationale here, but YouTube Kids, no longer. Do you use YouTube Kids?
No, we just use the normal YouTube.
I know a bunch of people that did use YouTube Kids. It's gone. It's going to be gone. It's going into the main app. And if you have it on your TV, you can get to a kids section from the YouTube app. I think that's kind of dangerous.
Yeah. I don't have to worry about it yet because my kid doesn't know how to use a remote, really. So I'm doing everything.
Yeah.
But I could see how that would be sketchy. Also, since we've talked about it last, I've realized a lot of the kids creators I watch on YouTube have their own app.
Of their own app.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
people Super are Simple to get Songs. Off. Blippi has his own app. Miss Dude Rachel Perfect. Needs one.
Yeah. I can't, like, that's a weird thing. Like, Mr. Beast doesn't. He's like still so pro YouTube.
They're paying him, right?
Well, like, they're paying him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, you are no longer going to have YouTube Kids. It's all going to be integrated within YouTube. And that's just a reminder. If you look at the content made for families, that targets kids if you're advertising. So you need to make sure to turn that off. Mm-hmm. It's very deceptive the way that they label that in YouTube in your targeting methodology. So go through and say content created for families or targeted for families really includes kids. And you need to uncheck that box if you don't want to advertise to a 9-year-old.
Or the Scientologist advertising to my 3-year-old.
Or a 3-year-old.
That's great.
Yeah. Turn it off. They might want to advertise.
They probably do.
I take that back. Redacted. Okay. And Tumblr and WordPress are allegedly preparing to sell user data to Midjourney and OpenAI, according to a source that 404media.co found. The exact types of data from each platform are not spelled out in the documentation they reviewed. But that could be a big deal. A lot of people have WordPress blogs and all that Tumblr information. I don't know what you're going to get from that. Like, AI is going to look at Tumblr and just break. This might be the end of AI.
Taylor Swift was really big on Tumblr back in the day.
Yeah, but AI is going to look at this and be like, it's going to be like Idiocracy when AI looks at Tumblr.
I don't know. Could be kind of fun.
They're going to make, oh, we just need GIFs.
They're going to have like teenage stuff. Angst.
Yeah, I guess. Like, I don't know what AI is going to learn from Tumblr.
Taylor Swift.
Okay. A new update to Microsoft's Copilot beta is on the rise. And apparently you can now remove your like assistant feature for Google. You can change it from Google Assistant and you can turn it to Gemini, which used to be Bard. But you can also use Microsoft Copilot. So if you want that, again, it used to be new Bing Chat. Now it's Copilot. You can now use that on your Android device if you want. So instead of Siri, like an Apple phone, you can now say, I don't want Google Assistant. I want Copilot, which is pretty cool. And again, you used to be able to use like Bixby, which was like Samsung's, whatever. You can now get out of that on Android. There's also new AI, and I just love the name of it. It is Claude.
Great.
So Claude. French.
We've got Fabrice. We've got Claude. Things are going great today. And there's a Claude 3 family model that is out there. The names are Haiku, Sonnet. And Opus.
I can't tell.
Opus. And apparently they're all better than ChatGPT and Gemini. So maybe
it always is better than the other one.
Everything's always better. And then you try it and you're like, this sucks. Like,
whatever, Claude.
Yeah. Get out of here, Claude. It reminds me of Jeeves. Remember Ask Jeeves?
Oh my. We need a Jeeves AI.
We need
a Jeeves. That would be amazing.
Claude, Jeeves, Fabrice. That's we need to get back to that.
Fabrice is a real person.
All right. There is also a new computer worm threatening AI models like ChatGPT and Gemini. Maybe it's going to get Claude, too. What if it gets Claude? Don't come for Claude. Don't come for Claude. Protect Claude at all costs. And I think it was somebody from Stanford or Cornell, Intuit, and Israel's Technion. I don't know how to say that. Technion I think it's something that's funny. You're like, oh, I'm from Cornell, and then I team up with Intuit to like come up with this worm. And it's like a zero-click worm, and it messes with all the AI, and it sneaks in harmful prompts, and it makes AI repeat the prompts. So if you want to see what's going on, there's a link in our show notes over at newsletter.marketingclock.com or community.marketingclock.com. And then lastly here today, we've got a post that I saw on Reddit, our Google, and take it with a grain of salt. It's from Business Insider, so it's probably as, you know, reliable as a coin flip, probably less reliable than a coin flip. But some of the comments on the thread I thought made sense. The actual post over on Reddit was that, again, referencing this Business Insider article, is that there are growing calls for Google CEO Sundar Pichai to step down. And I thought some of the comments were interesting. Somebody named Lucky Method said, I work at Google, and for what it's worth, I heard he's very good at finding common ground between very opinionated people, but he's not much of a driving force on his own. That's the kind of skill that works very well for a high to mid-level exec, but not for a CEO. I think a lot of what we're seeing might simply be down to who he is. I think somebody with a different temperament and maybe a bit more opinionated could work better for Google, but there's a high risk in that change. Finding someone that can lead a company like Google is not an easy task. Microsoft got super lucky to find Satya, and it wasn't a slam dunk that it would work as well as it did. And another person named In the Madness, so again, take all this with a grain of salt, said, when Sundar was my product manager, he was able to guide us to some very bold moves, and I appreciated working with him. I don't really know how that translates to running a company, though. From user Harambe's Law, so this is again after a dead...
Rest in peace.
Yeah, a dead gorilla. It says, former employee here. Ever since he took over the company, we would never reach our goals, and the corporate speak has gotten worse. I don't blame him entirely for that. There's a lot of yellow tape with everything and hundreds of meetings, but as a CEO, he does seem to find a middle ground and not disrupt the pecking order. Google is not a young company anymore, and it shows. Lots of employees just want sustainability and predictability. Oh, I can't say that name. Somebody says, excellent. I used to like Google before him. He's just one of those vanilla CEOs who want profit over everything else. And then lastly, I thought this was maybe, I don't know what this means. I'm too dumb to know what this means. But impressive-record says, Sundar is the Angela Merkel of business. He manages instead of leading. No vision, no strategy, just moderating among different views and going with the flow. It gives the illusion of good progress while times are great, but eventually the heck hits the fan.
Those are very different takes from everyone.
Yeah, I tried to get the good and the bad. I tried to take the most helpful thing.
Like, some people are saying he doesn't do anything, and then other people are saying he's just all about profit.
I would say the overwhelming majority is that people don't like him.
Yeah.
On Reddit.
But for different reasons. Some people are saying they don't like him because he's all about profit, and then some people are saying he has no vision at all. So,
well, I think if I could distill all the Reddit comments down into one thing, he's good at managing people, he's good at like getting people to come together, but he has no vision, and it's a company that's lost its vision, is my interpretation of the Reddit results.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to say with that, but that's just what the thing goes. And that's it, organic. What's happening in social, Nicole?
All right. First up in social, X will be prioritizing pinned posts to your followers. So this will be like your front page, like the news, but you still need to post high quality content for the post to get wider reach beyond your followers. And Alex Finn at Alex Finn X,
ooh, good name,
pointed out that this change is a winner for small accounts that might be drowned by engagement farming spam. You write high quality content, you guarantee your audience sees it. If your audience likes it and they share it, you grow no matter what size you are.
I feel like that makes sense. If you're pinning it, it's obviously something you want out there.
People are now just going to spam it though. Every
pin
post
everything. Yeah.
And Threads has launched a live test of its API with selected partners, enabling post scheduling in the app. Threads, the Threads team says that it's aiming for a broader launch of this API by the end of June.
Are we talking about the how the social media was down this week at all? No.
No, we couldn't. No.
Well, I just saw a really funny take where people were like, oh my God, Threads is down too.
Oh, I saw that.
And then someone was like, because I think it was in Slack.
Yeah.
Dozens of people have been affected.
Next up in social, YouTube has rolled out a collab tool for Shorts to compete with TikTok's feature that already was doing a split screen duet thing where you can film yourself alongside another TikTok. And through this collab feature, creators of YouTube Shorts can record short form content alongside regular videos of their preference from the app's catalog, which is nearly 1 minute long.
Why are they still stuck on 1 minute?
I don't know.
I'm surprised they haven't changed.
TikTok's going longer, so I wouldn't be surprised if in a couple months we hear that they're going longer too. And there have been reports that Twitter is growing in popularity as people, or X is growing in popularity as people continue to associate it more with Twitter. So when Twitter first transitioned to X, downloads took a massive hit and were reduced by 50% according to app figures. But new reports show that X platform is making a comeback with an 11% raise this year in downloads from December of last year. And we have a lovely chart here. I know we were missing some charts in SEO news.
Do you know what this chart is?
What?
A good sledding hill.
Mm, yeah, right by July to Black September. Yeah, definitely.
I don't know if that's good.
Draw a helmet.
Yeah, seriously. Buckle up.
TikTok and Meta have made changes to incentivize creative talent on their platform. So for TikTok, they're now allowing all creators to offer subscription packages, not just live creators, to try and provide more monetization options and keep top talent posting on the app. It's also bringing its creative program out of beta and renaming it to Creator Rewards Program. And finally, it is updating its creator portal within the Creator Academy platform, which hosts courses, articles, videos, and insights to help creators maximize their in-app efforts. And on a similar front, Meta has also made changes to their creative incentive program. So it's removing the restriction on how much creators can earn from the program per month. So up until now, the creator bonus program has been limited to a maximum payout of $30,000 per month. But now Meta says the sky's the limit. Creators can earn unlimited monthly payouts. And it's also expanding its program to Asian creators who have been unable to access this offering.
It's what? Is that like in the countries?
Yeah, just like a market thing. Because it's assuming. Okay.
Wait, you said that. No, because it's an invite only program right now.
Okay, we're about to catch a flight to California.
Matt is also inviting participants to integrate Reels ads into their clips, providing even more monetization potential. And it's also continuing its transition. While it's also continuing to transition its video payout programs from ad-based to performance-based in order to better reward high-quality content on Facebook.
That's smart. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
I feel like you get so much garbage like just pushed down from the algorithm and being like, hey, I'm going to do a thorough review and go actually sell product instead of just doing clickbaity content. I think this is great. Yeah. Love it.
And TikTok engagement has been reported to be way down for all brands, which is reflected in data from Rival IQ, Amplify, and Social Insider. And Andrew Hutchinson on Social Media Today points out that this could be a reflection of platform maturity and brand adoption. So as more brands come to the app, competition gets tougher and engagement necessarily declines, or it could be that brands are producing less engaging content over time. And we have some more charts here. So we have the Rival IQ chart showing that TikTok engagement is decreasing, and we have the Amplify chart here.
And that brings us to our real life segment, straight out of our accounts and into your ear holes. It's time for Working Hard or Hardly Working, where we talk about what's going on in our IRL work, good, bad, or otherwise.
This week, working hard for me is the Google labels by your Google ad account ID. So I think Greg was the one who shared this in one of our weekly Monday meetings with the marketing team. And it's so helpful to be able to filter based on your client's Google ad ID and put it in a separate folder, because I don't have those memorized and I would rather just know which client Google Ads is talking about.
Hardly working for me is trying to troubleshoot performance issues in Google Ads for same day problems, because the data is just not fast enough.
It's, and it's garbage.
Even like early the next day is garbage.
Terrible.
Stinks. So be better, Google. What about you, Greg?
So for me, we talked about solutions earlier in the show. I went through and I started playing around with it. And I'm like, let me see. There's something where you can see like abnormal behavior. I forget what the exact solution is called. I set it up for one account that we have. And I'm like, yeah, just show me if things are off. You get to choose the percentage of like spend or clicks or impressions, conversions, whatever. And I just set it up. You don't get to like name the emails that come to you. And so all I did is set this up, and I get these emails all the time now. And it says, your Google Ads account has misbehaved.
Oh my gosh.
It's like, wait, what? Misbehaved? That I can't go in and right I cannot word. Edit this. It's like, maybe it's overperforming. Like, I don't know. It just says has misbehaved.
I have never heard the word misbehave used like that.
No.
Like, so it's always about toddlers.
Every single day now, I get a message running hourly saying that my Google Ads account has misbehaved because it's spending a little bit more than it thinks it has. And it's not even like it's like wild. It's like, at this time, usually you spend $280 and you've spent $300. I'm like, okay.
No big deal.
Yeah, it's not a misbehavior.
I had to pause my solutions. I was playing around with them and it got really annoying.
Yeah. So I hope they fix it. But it could be cool for people that can't use scripts. Mm-hmm. But like the misbehave thing is too much.
And now for this week's
cool tool.
As a reminder, our cool tool segment is not an official endorsement or paid mention. We're simply sharing something we found in our travels that may be of use to our listeners. And is really, really cool.
This week's cool tool is from our friend Glenn Gabe at G Squared Interactive. So he has an article on his blog that explains how to extend a multi-site indexing monitoring system to compare Google selected and user selected canonical URLs via the URL Inspection API and Analytics Edge. So that was a whirlwind of a title, and that goes way over my head, but lucky for you, we have the article linked in our newsletter as well as on Discord, newsletter.andcommunity.marketingaclock.com respectively, and it has a step-by-step guide to how to do this if you're interested, so pick your poison and check it out.
Now it's time for our must-read marketing article of the week, an article so advanced, so in-depth, so detailed that we simply cannot cover it in its entirety on today's show.
This week's must-read marketing article of the week comes from Lazarna Stoy over on Search Engine Land. And the name is how one Google featured snippet is killing commercial list-based content. If you don't know what that feature snippet is, it's from sources across the web. And she goes on to say how from sources across the web came to dominate search results, how it relates to programmatic SEO, how this practice is worse for both users and publishers, and why Google is doing it nonetheless. Spoiler alert, it's money. And then it has a breakdown of the SERP's accuracy, what are Google's motivations, why the practice actually hurts all the users and publishers, and why they care about it, and why you should too. And one of my favorite parts in the article was the thumbnail in the video at the very end of the article. Like, they knew this was going to be a white screen, and it's a giant picture of sources across the web, and it says, why the snippet sucks, with a big arrow there. So I thought it was interesting. You should know it if you're in SEO. So thank you, Lazarna.
And now on to our playlist of curated songs to work to. You can head over to playlist.marketingaclock.com to listen to Marketing a Playlist. Nicole, what will you be adding this week?
I will be adding Gangsta by Free Nationals, ASAP Rocky, and Anderson .Paak.
I'm going to be adding a song that has been stuck in my head all day, and that is Boothing by Paul Russell.
And I thought I added this before, but I looked and I didn't. I'm going to go with Future Islands, The Tower.
All right, that does it for today's show.
It is now officially not Marketing O'Clock.
Thanks for listening.
We missed you already.
We can't wait to see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Marketing O'Clock. If you're looking for more information on today's topic, head over to marketingoclock.com/newsletter to receive every single article we covered. We share the news as it breaks in our Discord community. Head over to community.marketingoclock.com to join.
Welcome to this week's Shootin' the Heck. We're after our famous Friday news show. We don't talk about marketing anymore. We just...
shoot the heck.
And this week, we have a fantastic game. I don't know what it is.
Yes, we are doing a quiz, trivia. You can all ring in.
My favorite.
And I'm going to give it to the closest person, I think. It's going to be really tough because closest is like going to be a loose term here. So I'm the judge, the jury, the executioner.
Oh, that makes a great game.
This never works out.
Okay, so... right around the corner. It's officially March. Mm-hmm. March is best known for what tables? March is best known.
St. Patrick's Day.
Okay. March is best known for what?
St. Patrick's Day?
No. March Madness. March Madness.
Yep.
Okay.
Got it.
Okay. It's big in my house.
Yeah. You would think so. Okay. So in the U.S. here, a lot of colleges have wild mascots. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give you a university and you got to come closest to what their mascot is, or who it is, what it is, anything like that.
Okay.
Okay? All right, so first up, we have Texas Christian University. With the mascot.
TCU, they've done well before.
Okay. Everybody gets to try to get closest.
Can you repeat the name?
Texas Christian University, TCU.
I'm not going to remember. The elderflowers.
Tables.
Oh.
Tables.
I was supposed to ring in.
Frog.
Okay.
It's something weird.
We have the elderflowers, the frog.
Like a centaur.
And a centaur. Tables is like nearly on the nose with it. Their mascot is Super Frog the Horned Frog.
Whoa.
Super Frog the Horned Frog. So Tables has one.
Make sure you're tuning in on YouTube to see this guy in action.
He has spikes everywhere.
Next up.
He looks like an alien.
The University of Miami.
Oh, Shep.
Shep.
The Hurricanes.
Okay. The Hurricanes is their mascot.
Oh, no. That's the hockey team. Wait. I do know.
Tables.
I have a friend who
Tables.
Went there.
Ugh. A duck.
Okay. Nicole.
What is it?
It's not the duck.
University of Miami, a.k.a. the U.
They go like Wait. This.
They do. The U.
What is the mascot?
That's the question.
That I'm asking. Somebody already said, you said hurricane already?
She said a hurricane. Oh. Tables said a duck.
The sun.
It is actually,
University of Miami.
Tables getting two. It's Sebastian the Ibis, which looks quite like a duck that you can see there.
I don't like that guy.
No, it's creepy.
That's
duck.
Not.
Okay, not next good. We have Delta State University. Probably won't be in the tournament this year.
Okay.
What do you got?
Oh, where is that?
Great question.
It's in Delta, the state.
Nicole. An airplane.
Airplane.
Shep. The dandelions.
A dandelion. Tables.
I was going to say airplane. Where is it? Delaware?
Delta. I don't know.
Delta.
Oh, the fighting triangles.
Are you changing your answer? You can't change your answer. I already ringed it.
I'll go with that. I'll go with the fighting triangles.
Okay. It is actually Shep's point. It is the fighting okra. That weird vegetable
okra.
That you have
oh.
to eat.
Wow, I was pretty close.
You're pretty close.
It is a plant.
All right, tables. You are next. Or you are up two. Shep, you're one. Okay, Western Kentucky University.
The Bourbon Slingers.
The Bourbon Slingers, okay.
A chicken wing.
A chicken wing.
Why?
Tables.
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh.
tobacco smoking. I have no idea.
What was your first answer?
The Bourbon Slingers.
I'm giving it to Shep. It is actually Big Red the Hilltopper.
What's that?
It looks like almost like a McDonald's.
It looks like a lot of things.
Yeah, it looks like a McDonald's character or Sesame Street character, something like that. It's frightening, to be honest with you. I don't like how there's no torso. It's all legs and head.
He's Poe the Teletubby.
Okay, this should be the Teletubby. I would have had that beat your answer. Do you want any more of these? Or
sure.
How many more?
Two.
Okay, it's Shep 2,
well, what's the score
Tables depends. 2. Okay, I'll find a good one here. Okay, this one's a weird one. Oklahoma State.
They're good. We should know this.
The mascot for Oklahoma State.
Nicole.
Nicole.
A cowboy.
Okay.
They're not the Volunteers, right?
That's Tennessee.
I don't know. The pizza slices.
The pizza slices. Table.
Sooners.
No, that's Oklahoma regular.
Wait. Oh, Oklahoma's okay. OSU?
Yep, you're out.
It's
Pistol Pete.
I know him.
I knew that one.
It is a super creepy, giant-headed person.
He's married to a Duggar girl.
Is he
Jill
really?
Duggar's husband was Pistol Pete.
I remember that.
That is the least surprising thing I've ever heard.
He also was a lawyer.
Yeah. And he had adult braces. They looked really painful.
All right. I had one here for PPC Greg, Sparty the Spartan. He gets mad if you call it just Sparty from Michigan State. But we'll go with the tie break here. Unless Nicole gets it, then we have one more. Okay. Stanford.
These are all
Nicole.
Ones.
Nicole.
Tree.
On the nose, the tree.
Wait, are you serious?
Yes, it is the weirdest looking mascot ever seen. It is now tied up 2-2-2-2. Okay, and we are going with another one. The more specific you can be, the better. LSU. Just won a national title.
I know.
That's Louisiana. I know the theme.
Tables.
Tiger.
I know it's Tiger. Golden Tiger.
Okay.
Oh, I'm going to say a leopard.
Okay, so we have Tiger and Golden Tiger.
Oh, no.
I want you to be a little more specific.
Both of us?
Gee, come up with whatever you want. Names. I'm going to go with names.
Wait, can I change my answer?
Sure.
What about a Bengal Tiger?
Tony the Tiger.
Let's go name. I'm going to go name. Everybody's in on Tiger. Name.
The name of
closest
the Tiger.
Name. Or details of the tiger.
Tables.
Tables.
White.
Okay. Nicole's Bengal.
Tina the tiger.
Okay. I'm giving it to Nicole. 3 in a row.
Wow, what a comeback.
This is in there because it is Mike the tiger. And Mike isn't just a mascot. Mike is an actual Bengal tiger.
Wow.
They have a Bengal tiger as their mascot. On August 1st, LSU announced it had located a 9-month-old male Siberian Bengal hybrid tiger that may become Mike the 7th. The tiger was donated from Florida sanctuary that had changed owners and practices after blah, blah, blah. And it's now not allowed on the field on game day anymore.
PETA is quaking.
I know.
PETA
had
a big petition to not.
Was it Carol Baskin's tiger?
They had said not to buy a tiger, but to get one from a sanctuary, which they did. So I think that might be something good. And then they're trying to make the house like technically a tiger sanctuary, like jurisdiction legally or something like that. But they have a real tiger as their mascot.
So what does he do if he doesn't go to the games?
I have no idea. There's like a tiger mascot-ish thing, but like the real mascot is Mike number 7. I also think it's funny. You've got a tiger and its name is Mike. And this tiger, they took it, his name was like Norman or something. And they're like, well, once we got Norman in 9 months, then we changed him to Mike number 7. Mike the tiger, the real tiger. Nicole, 3 in a row to come back and win. Great job.
That's amazing, Nicole. And we will see you next week. You know what time it is. It's officially marketing o'clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it locked.